Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Hello again, Colm O'Mungine here, standing in for Claire. The Irish Cancer Society launched the Leave Our Leave campaign outside Leinster House today, and this new campaign is asking the government to change current legislation that prevents women from deferring their maternity leave while they're being treated and recovering from cancer. Joining us to talk about this are Avril Power, CEO of the Irish Cancer Society, and Emma McGuinness, a mother who's part of the Leave Our Leave campaign. Thanks very much for coming in and welcome. Avril Power, could I start with you? Can you tell us what the current situation is with regards to people who have to get cancer treatment on maternity leave?
Well, right now, Colm, every week, someone in Ireland, some woman, is diagnosed with cancer either while pregnant or on maternity leave. And sadly, that diagnosis is likely to mean that they'll be away from their child in hospital, getting life-saving treatment, and that even when they are at home, that they're so sick, they're so physically unwell for their chemo or their radiotherapy, that they're bedbound and that they're just physically not able to care for their child in the way that in any normal way. And under current Irish legislation, it's not possible to defer their maternity leave until they're better, even though for paternity leave, men can do that. And we just think that's incredibly...
So if the father of a child is getting cancer treatment during their paternity leave, that doesn't eat away at his paternity leave?
You park your paternity leave, and then when you're well enough, you go off illness leave and you go on to paternity leave, right, and have that really important bonding time with your child.
And if your annual leave falls during your maternity leave, you can add that on to the end.
So on annual leave, like for anybody, if you're on annual leave, any of us, even with not just on maternity, but if you're on annual leave at any time and you get sick to the extent that you can't actually go on a holiday, you're entitled to cancel your annual leave and go on sickness leave. So it's just crazy, really. You know, we all know how important maternity leave is. It's such an important time for bonding with the child, for child development. I think it's awful to go through cancer at any stage, but going through that treatment while you're pregnant is just unthinkable, and that the government would add to that by letting the clock tick on their maternity leave and depriving them of that opportunity to spend time with their baby later is just cruel.
Right. Emma McGuinness, nobody knows that better than you. This happened to you.
Yeah. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when I was 20 weeks pregnant with my son, Rory, who's 2 now. I kind of lived through all of that.
So you couldn't get treatment during pregnancy, could you? You had to wait till...
So it was decided I could wait until Rory was born. So that was kind of a moving goalpost. I was diagnosed at 20 weeks. Originally, we had thought 29 weeks he would have to come. We managed to put it off a couple of more weeks. So, it was a really crazy time. I was so... I suppose I was just following everybody's instructions at the time. I was just doing what I was told. So the maternity leave thing didn't even occur to me until I had finished my mat leave, and I had to fill out all these forms. And it was only then I was like, wait a second, this feels really unfair.
So did you find yourself going back to work earlier than you would have wished as a result of this?
No, by the end of my chemotherapy, I was having chemo every 2 weeks for 6 months. So I had my last chemotherapy session 2 days after my maternity leave ended. So I hadn't even finished my treatment. And by the end of my treatment, I was at the lowest point, like I was the sickest I had been. So I was unable to go back to work. Thankfully, I was in remission. I no longer had a diagnosis of Hodgkin's lymphoma. So when it came to going on to sick leave and filling out the forms, I just had to individually list all of the symptoms I had as a result of treatment, which was really sickening, actually.
But not everyone would even have that option. So if, for example, you spent like that whole 6 months on treatment, and at the end of literally a week before you're due to go back to work, you're physically okay, your treatment stopped. And if somebody was physically well, they would then be expected to go back to work.
Right. Yeah. But it misses out on, I mean, the emotional impact of the time of maternity leave, of the time spent with your child, the time bonding, the time to get yourself into a routine, the time to get your head into, you know, dropping your child to childcare. What was all of that like?
Really horrible. Actually, once I had finished my treatment, I felt like that was, you know, we were in the routine of going for a treatment every 2 weeks. I had a tiny baby. I was so lucky that I had like my parents and my husband who were so supportive, and I never felt worried that Rory and Grace weren't being looked after amazingly, you know. But I suppose not everybody has that kind of support system. And when I was, when it came to coming off mat leave and going on to sick leave, the logistics of it all, it was just really terrible. And you felt like you weren't being looked after at all. I was having to do this all myself. I felt like I needed some kind of administrator or something to sort it out for me.
Were you shocked when you found out that this was the situation?
Absolutely. Like I said, I was so vulnerable. I was on this path where I was going in every 2 weeks for this horrible treatment, thinking about two kids at home. You know, I had so much on my mind. It actually never occurred to me until a friend of mine sent me Erica Tierney's post that was in association with the Irish Cancer Society at the launch of the Leave Our Leave campaign, that I was like, oh my gosh, hold on a second. This is so unfair. And like, it's very difficult for myself and Erica and Mary to have to go today and do something like that, tap back into something that we have left behind us now. We've moved on. We are so lucky that we've all had positive outcomes. You know, we've healthy babies, we've moved on. And actually to have to come back and tap into all of that again, just so we can get politicians to change this, to make this simple change, it just feels unfair again. You know.
So where's the campaign at, April? You've met Roderick O'Gorman. What's the response been so far?
So we launched this campaign a year ago, as Emma said. And at that time, to be honest, we would have felt the change would come quite quickly, that this was an oversight, that, you know, because the Maternity Acts allow this and the maternity legislation doesn't, we would have felt that as soon as we brought it to their attention that it would be fixed. And we met the minister a few months ago to discuss, well, why hasn't it? We've had positive discussions with him, but it hasn't actually moved forward. And that's why we're really frustrated, because...
Have you been tempted to go down the route of looking at it through the prism of the Equal Status Act? Because, you know, even on that comparison alone, it seems there's a prima facie case for gender discrimination. Yeah.
And look, that's certainly an option that's open to us, I suppose. But just, like, to be honest, frankly, just makes me really angry as a woman that this is still, you know what I mean, that we've drawn attention to this. It's, as you said, like, it's prima facie discrimination. It's so obvious, it's so straightforward to fix, and that here we are a year later when 60 other women have gone through what Emma has gone through. This week it'll be another woman and her family, and it just is just so frustrating, frankly, that we're still here having this conversation. It's just really cruel.
And Emma, is do you feel that has anything to do with it, the fact that, as April mentioned there, you're talking about around 60 women have been affected by it? Is it just, it's not a priority because there aren't that many of you in terms of the general population, but in terms of people getting cancer treatment, that's quite a number.
It is. To me, that feels like a lot. At the time I was diagnosed, I thought, oh my gosh, I must be the only person that this has ever happened to. And through the Irish Cancer Society, I've met so many other women. A lot of women have to wait until after their baby is born for a diagnosis. So that's a huge number of women as well, you know. I just anecdotally know of so many mothers of young babies who are going through treatment.
The other thing, Colm, as well, is that, you know, sadly, one of the consequences of cancer treatment is infertility. So for many of these women, I've met women where this was their only chance to have a baby, to bond with that baby, to have that experience. And that was taken away from them because of this legislative unfairness. And I just think, again, that is just so cruel, and there's no excuse for not changing it today.
And right, and from, you know, from the people who are in the workplace, there is an employer there who has a duty of care to an employee coming back as well. I mean, would an employer even want an employee to return if they're in a situation whereby they've had a harrowing experience during their maternity leave, Emma?
Yeah, like, I suppose I was lucky in some way. I work for a private company and a private international company. They were very much just following the process here. They were like, we've never had this happen to an employee before. They kind of were just following what the rules were. The rules were, you start your maternity leave 2 weeks before you have your baby and you finish it after the 26 weeks. They were the rules. They were just following them, you know.
And, you know, like some employers, where they can, right, in particular, like some of the bigger companies will try to help, right? And they'll try to financially, they'll take
the business. They have the discretion to extend the maternity leave.
They have the means to do that, right? But there are women working in news agents, there are women working in small companies all over the country where that's a financial challenge for their employer. And it shouldn't be on the employer. It should be a fund by government to pay them their maternity leave during that period. It's not fair actually to put on the employer to have to do that. And the amount involved, Colm, is only €2.6 million a year.
Right. So did you get any insight into what's happened in the year since you launched the campaign?
It doesn't look like Minister would say, you know, that they're looking at it, right? And I think we're also very conscious, Colm, as well, that, you know, it's under Radical Garments Department, who's also responsible for housing the refugees coming down. Like, there's a huge amount of pressure in that department, right? So we're conscious of other things going on, but we feel that, you know, somebody else, you know, if there's not the capacity within the department to address this as a priority because of other issues, that they should be getting other departments to look after the legislation or finding some mechanism around that. Like, it's not good enough just to park it for that reason.
All right. Emma, Avril, the very best of luck with it and thanks very much for coming into us. We're going to have a look at why Irish people are paying 46% more than the EU average for goods and services after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.